Morning, everyone. The reading today is from Hebrews 12, chapter 12, 4 to 13, on page 975 on the Pew Bibles. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word, at encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at this time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed."
You may have noticed a word pop up a whole number of times in that Bible reading, and that word was discipline, wasn't it? Again and again and again, discipline. I wonder what comes to mind when you hear the word discipline. When I hear the word discipline, I tend to think of punishment. Punishment, discipline seems to go together. I remember my grandmother used to say to us grandkids when we were in trouble, "I'll skin you alive." And it wasn't until we got older that we thought, "Oh, that's quite dark and horrible." Sometimes there was the threat of a wooden spoon. Maybe you're a parent and you send your child to time out, and that's discipline. Or maybe, I don't even know if schools do this. This is how out of touch I am. I remember we had to write lines when we, is that a thing? Does that happen? It doesn't happen. You just copy and paste. that was quite clever, wasn't it? Yeah, you just sit there, control C, control V, hold it down. That was one form of discipline. We had to write lines, or detention or suspension. We tend to equate discipline with punishment. But there's another sense of discipline as well, and that's the undergoing of hardship for a good purpose as well. So going through something difficult, but it's for your good. For a good purpose. So last year I had my gallbladder taken out, and as a result, I've got to be more disciplined about the things I can and can't eat. Some things I can't eat anymore. Maybe you are really proficient at a musical instrument, and to get there, you had to be disciplined. Like you had to undergo the pain of lots and lots of practice. Or maybe you're a terrific sports person, an athlete. And you've had to train and go through the hardship of exercise and eating right and whatever it is in order that you would achieve that goal. And that's the other sense of discipline. And what we've got in this morning's passage is these words from the author of Hebrews to this early church saying the hardship that you face in following Jesus, we're to view it as discipline from the Lord. And I think that it's more in line with that second sense of discipline, that it's the undergoing of hardship for a good purpose. You see, the original audience, they're finding it hard to follow Jesus. And they know and we know that it's not always easy to follow Jesus. It's not always easy to be a Christian. It's not always easy to fight off temptation. And this section of Hebrews has been, consider the heroes of faith. Keep going after Jesus. And just the few verses before this was, consider Christ himself who endured the cross for you. Keep going in the faith. And here we've got this reminder, the hardship that you face, it's God's discipline. And it's not punitive discipline. Because it's not as if, okay, these Christians are finding it hard to follow Jesus and God is there and he just zaps them as punishment. It's not that kind of discipline, but he's allowing difficult circumstances and suffering for a good purpose, for their good. And so the author of Hebrews, he does what we do a lot of the time on a Sunday. He presents a Bible text, a bit of a Bible reading, followed by an explanation. And so what he does is he says to the audience of Hebrews, he says, look, as you consider Christ, you haven't yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You guys aren't dead yet. And have you forgotten what the scriptures say? And he brings up Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 to 12. And that's his little Bible reading. And he says that this is encouraging. This is to be an encouragement for you. Isn't that wild? The news that the hardship that you face in your Christian walk is discipline from the Lord, it's to be an encouragement. Wow. How does that fit? The discipline is to be an encouragement. Well, I reckon we see a couple of ways that this is to be an encouragement for us. And they both begin with the letter R to help us remember. How's that? And the first one is, the first way that it's to be an encouragement is that the news that the hardship that we face is discipline from the Lord, and that's to be an encouragement, is that it points to a relationship. It points to our relationship. So have a read. So this is the bit where he quotes Proverbs chapter 3. He says, this is what it says. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. And then with his little explanation, if you want like the whole point of this section of scripture that we're looking at this morning, it's verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. He's treating you as his children. And so this is pointing out that the discipline that we undergo, the hardship that we face, it's actually evidence of God's love, which is a wild thought. Like, does not this require some sort of change in our thinking or perspective? Because so often we imagine the Lord's love as just this really nice, lovely stuff that we can put on a card with a beautiful photo and things. But this is saying that this is part of God's love is his disciplining of us, that he's actually trying to do something in us to grow us in something, to make us strong, to help us to follow Jesus even through the hard stuff. And so he says that he disciplines those that he loves. The hardship that we face points to our relationship with God, that he would love us. And it says there that he treats us as a father would treat a son, as a parent would treat their child. And then he says, for what son is not disciplined by his father? You know, the picture is that as a general rule, children are disciplined by their parents. And so what kind of father doesn't discipline their child? Well, is that not an absentee father, a father who isn't there, or a father who doesn't care, or a father who doesn't love? And this is saying, if as a general rule, if a father disciplines their son, does not our Heavenly Father discipline us? And does that not point to the relationship that we've got with our God? This shows that we are legitimate children, that he is our father. It shows that we belong. I remember when a friend of mine was becoming a dad for the first time, and he quite proudly would go around and say, when my child is born, like, we're not going to discipline or punish or anything. We're just going to let the child decide what's right and wrong for itself. And like me and my friends, we all said, you are going to be the worst father ever. You are going to be so terrible. That's like, what kind of father does not aim to correct and educate and guide their child? Even if it doesn't seem pleasant at the time. And thankfully, he changed his tune quickly once the child was born. But this is what God is like. Out of his love for us, he allows us to go through hardship and suffering that we would know that we belong to him. And it's so, so tempting, because hardship and suffering, like, it hits us really personally, and it's real and painful. But it's so tempting for us to say, well, to look at the hardship and suffering of our life and say, well, I think this means that God isn't there. And it's really tempting to say, well, the hardship and suffering that I'm facing, it means that God isn't paying attention to me, or it means that he doesn't love me, or it means that he is not involved in my life. It's really easy to go that way. But what we've got here is, this is saying the complete opposite. Isn't that wild? That he's saying that the hardship and suffering that we face is evidence of his love, that he is with us, that we are his sons and daughters, he is our father, that he does care, and he's at work. Even as we endure hardship and suffering, as we live this life as a walk following Jesus. So the challenge for us is to not lose heart. It says there in that Proverbs quote, so don't lose heart. Don't lose heart in the face of suffering. It's evidence of our relationship with God, his involvement in our lives, and he's working something good. So don't forget the encouragement of the relationship. And then the second R is... be encouraged by the results, like what is produced by this discipline. So in verses 10 and 11, if we skip down to there, it's part of this comparison that the author gives between our earthly parents and our heavenly father, the similarities and differences. And in verse 10, it says that our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. And once again, this is as a general rule, this is what fathers have done. They've disciplined us for a little while. That is, while you were a child, still under the care of your earthly parents, you have been disciplined. And our earthly discipline that comes our way is sort of as our parents think best. And we know that just because somebody thinks best, it isn't always. Like, I know for myself, we can discipline can be enacted out of anger, or it could be inconsistent or out of proportion, or the discipline that is placed on a child could be not from a place that desires the good of the child. But then it's contrasted with God. And it says there that our Heavenly Father disciplines us for our good in order that we would share in his holiness. So the hardship and suffering that we endure as we seek to follow Jesus with our life, God is producing something in us. Like, he is desiring us to share in his holiness, that our character would reflect his, that he wants us to be holy as he is holy. And this is such good news, because this means that whatever hardship and suffering that we face in this life, it's not meaningless. It's not without purpose. The hard things that you go through and that you face, it's not purposeless. Like, God is doing a work in you, making you more like him as you trust him through it. How good is that? And so his desire is that we would share in his holiness, and he's consistent and he's loving and he is working for our good. And it says there something that we all know intuitively, hey, that no discipline at the time seems pleasant, but it's painful. The suffering and hardship, it does not seem pleasant at the time, but he's working for our good. He's working all things for our good. So he's working in us in order that we would share in his holiness. But then further on in verse 11, it says that later on, this discipline, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And so the concept here is that the hardship that we face is producing something in our lives, a fruit to be harvested, a fruit of righteousness and peace. You know, this is quite a while ago, but my daughter Edith learned about seeds and how seeds work, she was very excited. And after dinner one night, she took the capsicum seeds that were left over and took me by the hand, and we went out into the garden. She poked holes and then put capsicum seeds in there, and she was so excited to grow some capsicums. And what do you reckon happened the very next day? Come on, Dad, let's see if there's any capsicums. You know, the very next day. So what's happening there? Like, okay, like a seed has been planted. Where's the fruit? I want the fruit. And are we not the same? Are we not the same as we go through hardship and suffering? Like we want to know right there in the moment what the whole point is, what the purpose is. We want to know the fruit that is being produced, and we want to see it. We want to see it right away. But it's like we're saying, God, like, I want to know right now, even as I'm suffering, the whole point of this and what you were doing, because I don't understand. But the picture of the fruit and of the harvest is that it can take a while. It can take a while. I know that in our impatience, we want to have all of the answers right away to the problem of pain. But this picture of fruit and of harvest shows that it might be a while before we realize the fruit of peace and righteousness that have come from the hardship that we've gone through. Surely it's a very common experience for many of us, if not all of us here, that we can look back on times of hardship. We can look back now and say, wow, God, you were at work and you were doing something. You were producing something. But in the moment, you couldn't see it. And so the challenge is for us to trust our Heavenly Father in the moment, trusting that he is growing us in holiness and he's producing fruit of righteousness and peace in us. So those are the two R's that we're to be encouraged by: the relationship that this points to and the results that come from it. The third R is our response. Like, what's to be our response to this news that the hardship that we face as we go through suffering in following Jesus, how are we to respond? So if you have a look at verse 9, this is the part where he's sort of saying, hey, have a look at earthly parents, have a look at your Heavenly Father. He says that, moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us. And yes, this is as a general rule. I know that not all of us have had earthly fathers who have disciplined us well. But as a general rule, we've had earthly parents who have disciplined us. And as we've matured, we can look back and say, wow, I really did not like that at the time. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful I respect my father for the discipline that he enacted as I was maturing. And so the argument here is from the lesser to the greater. If we are able to say that about our earthly parents, that discipline has resulted in respect going to our earthly parents, how much more should we respect and honor and submit to our Heavenly Father, even as He disciplines us? Is that not a sign of a maturing in the faith, that we would honor and respect and submit to our Heavenly Father, even as He refines us, even if it's painful? So that's one response there. But then if we skip down to verses 12 and 13, there's this call to be strong in the faith as we follow Jesus. It says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. And the picture is one of being trained and made strong. So in verse 11, where it says that you're being trained by the discipline, that's where we get the word gymnasium from. It's being trained, the hardship, the pain, being made strong. It's an athletic picture. The very first time I stepped foot into a gym, I'd never been before, and so I had to say to the guy that worked there who looked really fit and really strong, I said, look, I don't really know what I'm doing here. You've got to be really gentle with me because, like, I've never been here before. And anyway, he said, yeah, I'll look after you, mate, no worries. And he just flogged me. Like, went through, like, every single machine, and then, anyway, I ended up vomiting in the toilets. My vision went. My legs, like, actually went out for... I'm not exaggerating. I was on the floor, and I just thought, wow. So, verse 12. Strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Did you know, like, this is a picture of being trained by the Lord, and he's not like that. He's not there to flog us, but he's much more gentle. He's much more gentle, and he's working for our good, that we would be strong in the faith. Like, he's making us strong even through the hardship as we trust him, as we do what earlier in the chapter it says, to consider Christ, who endured, for the sake of the joy that was before him, he endured the cross, and it was for our sin. Like, can we see how the Lord is making us strong? He's making us strong. Like, would we be encouraged? And this response of encouragement isn't to be just for ourselves either. In verse 13, it says, make level paths for your feet. And so it's sort of like the highway of righteousness that we is a picture in Isaiah. Or make a straight path for your feet. So that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And we think, who are the lame here? It's those who are really struggling to walk on the path of righteousness. It's those in our community, those around us, our brothers and sisters, who are really struggling in their walk. Those who are tempted to give in to despair and tempted to throw in the towel and say, following Jesus is too hard. And here is a challenge for us to not just take encouragement for ourselves, but to be those who encourage others on their walk. I've been so blessed by sisters and brothers in Christ who've done just totally simple things that any of us can do, like shoot off a text message of scripture verse to someone. We can encourage one another by saying, hey, like, let's pray for that. Or I'll be praying for you and actually go through it. We can encourage one another in our walk with Jesus by noticing when somebody stops showing up and following them up to home group or to church. This is a challenge for us to, at some level, take responsibility for one another as sisters and brothers, to view our encouragement to keep following Jesus as a group project together. To encourage one another to keep following Jesus even through the hard stuff. Can you see what a beautiful picture of Christian community this could be? One that is encouraged to look to Jesus together, even when it's hard, and to encourage others to do the same and say, yep, we're walking alongside one another, that the word picture is here, that the lame would be healed. knowing that it is God who makes us strong as we look to Jesus. And can you imagine the, like, if the truths of what is in here, if it would sink more deeply into my heart and if it would sink more deeply into your hearts, could you imagine what kind of difference that would make the next time that we face suffering and hardship? If we're able to say, okay, God, like, this is really hard and I don't fully get it, I don't understand, but I do know that you are working for my good and that you are making me strong through this as I trust in Jesus because he is the one who has suffered and died and rose again for me. Like, can you imagine the difference that it makes to our perspective on suffering if we're able to say, it is hard to follow Jesus sometimes. It is hard to be a Christian sometimes. It can be really hard to fight off temptation. It can be hard to keep going in the faith. But God is good and he's raising me as his child. Wow, what a difference that makes as we consider Christ for us. So it's my prayer, real prayer, that God by his Holy Spirit would be doing that strengthening work in us as we have our hearts melted and strengthened by looking at what Christ has done for us and how through him we have been adopted as daughters and sons. He's making us strong. Let's keep going in the faith, even when it's hard. Let's pray. Father, we do recognize that life is not always easy, and we recognize, Lord, that it can be really hard to see where you are at work when things are dark. But Lord, would you grow us in our love and our trust in you, Lord, because your word says that you work all things for the good of those who love you. And so we're asking, Lord, that you would give us a presence of mind and an awareness, Lord, in our spirits of your tender love for us, even as you are willing to let us undergo hardship, that you would be building in us holiness and righteousness and peace. And it's a scary thing to pray, Lord, but would you even bring us to a place, Lord, for any of us who are facing hardship right now, would you bring us to a place where we're able to look back and say, yep, that was hard and horrible, but I'm thankful, Lord, you were with me and you were at work. And so we ask, Lord, that you would be bringing us to such a deep love of Jesus as we consider the endurance that he went through on the cross for our sake, that he would be going before us as our example as we trust in his finished work. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to be an encouragement to those around us, to keep following you even when it's tricky, and help us, Lord, to rely on the strength that you provide. Not because we're really strong in ourselves, Lord, but you do the strengthening work as we trust in you. And we ask this in the name of our Savior. Amen.